Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Weavecast. Thank you for tuning in to another Attack on Titan episode, because well, my Attack on Titan fic finally getting these episodes out last week. If you listened to last week's episode, I talked about the final season as a whole as a little quick review. Today, I'm going to be diving a little bit deeper into the ending of the manga, and I'm going to explain it a little bit and talk about... Well, I don't want to... Look, we'll get on that too on the other side. I'm going to be talking about the ending and how highly anticipated it was, how it was teased, how exciting it was, just the fever pitch. It isn't terrible. But it probably was the most predictable outcome. I'll say that much. Not only the exciting Attack on Titan manga ending I'll be talking about, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the surprise victory at the Kodansha Awards, the 45th annual Kodansha Manga Awards. I need to talk more about them, or about the manga in general. Well, I guess we're doing a good start here with Attack on Titan manga ending. But I need to do some more manga topics going into the future. But I used to love talking about the Kodansha awards, talking about the nominees and the winner. And I'm going to talk about one of the surprise victories there, and I hope you guys... And it's from a title that is gaining more steam as time goes by. And do not be surprised, because I do think this will be the next... Haikyuu. Yes, I know, a little teaser, but before I get into my exciting topics for today's episode, I wanted to get to talk about today's sponsor. Yeah, I gotta do it. You know what it is. We gotta keep the lights on in here. And our today's sponsor is Baxter Blue. Do you experience digital eye strain from too much blue light exposure from a digital screens? Baxter Blue glasses are not your average frames. These blue light lenses filter 80% of the highest energy blue light, eliminating 99% of the glare. The past year, we have been glued to our devices more than ever, especially myself, ever since starting this podcast back in February of 2020. I have been watching double the amount of anime, reading the triple amount of manga, and have been editing on my iPad and phone for each and every episode, trying to get better and better. So yeah, I've been looking at my screen probably 100% more than I have in the previous year. So our exposure to digital light has soared, and our eyes and our sleep are suffering as a result. Baxter Blue is a force for good and provides a pair of reading glasses for someone in need for every pair sold. This is eyewear built for our digital age, and Baxter Blue is giving our Weebcast listeners 10% off your next purchase of blue light, sleep, or kids glasses. Click the link in the show notes of this episode if you're wanting to invest in a pair of your own. We know you will love your Baxters, and we know that you will feel the difference. All right, guys, let's get into the show, and let's get ready for another Hey Yo on the other side. Hey, yo, it's Weavecast Radio. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. If you're listening to the intro of this episode, you already know what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to be talking about Kodansha Awards, surprise victory there. And then to the big topic, I'm going to be talking about the Attack on Titan, and I'm going to explain the ending, talk about a few problems with it, and talk about some of the positives as well. And so I'm really excited about doing that today. Let's just get right to it. The 45th Kodansha Manga Awards have been announced, and handing the surprise victory to Muneyuki Kaneshiro and Yusuke Nomura's Blue Lock in the Shonen category. Yes, Blue Lock, the heating, rising, popular soccer and manga. But back in April, the nominees for the 45th Kodansha Awards were announced, and it included the likes of Atsuhisi Okubo's Fire Force, Kanehito Yamada's and Tsukasa Abe's Soso no Fieren. I think Taiki Kawakami's The Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, based on the original light novel. That manga was also in all those three were in the shonen category as well. And looking at the results of the other high-profile award ceremonies, it seemed almost a given that, at least to me, I thought Yamada's and Abe's Soso no Fieren would win. But the crown eventually went to Blue Lock. Not that it's undeserved, mind, but I will say, it is often said that the Kodansha Manga Awards are, at least, and I tend to believe with this thinking as well, that these awards are more of an opportunity for publishers to recognize and reward its own works. Although series not published by Kodansha have also been to win in the past, you know. This year, however, it's a veritable Kodansha route, winning. They won in the shoujo category of the 45th Kodansha Manga Awards, was a condition called Love. Check it out if you guys haven't read it before. And that's penned by Megumi Morino, I believe, and serialized in Kodansha's monthly shoujo magazine. Now the name's about to blank on me. What's the name of that magazine, guys? Oh, Dessert. The general category, went to Yuria Sensei no Akai Ito, penned by Kiwa Irie, and serialized in a magazine published by, well, you guessed it, Kodansha. What's the name? And the name of that magazine is Be Love. And the Be Love magazine is a little bit different from the Dessert Shoujo magazine that Kodansha has. The Be Love magazine is a little more for adult women. But putting the publisher connection aside, the final results of the 45th Kodansha Manga Awards should serve to give you some great manga to read. And that's really the main purpose of it, at least I'd like to say. Yuria Sensei no Akai Ito is actually the only series not to be licensed in English yet, which is a little sucky. With both Blue Lock and A Condition Called Love available to read via Kodansha USA, which I highly recommend you guys get. And with any luck, all three victors might be available soon anyway. But a victory in such a high-profile contest should serve to push some of these series further towards the prospect of adaptation, especially Blue Lock. I think people who have read Blue Lock and who are aware of it, they know that anime adaptation is on somewhere on the horizon. I have a friend of mine, we've guessed that we were going to get like an announcement of the fall of 2021, like this year or fall, we would get like some kind of Blue Lock anime adaptation announcement, which is still possible, I guess. I mean, but that was our prediction. If not, it'll be early 2022, but that's another thing for another song. But we're talking mostly keenly about Blue Lock, which has, surprisingly, leapfrogged the likes of Sore Demo, Ayumi wa Yosere Kuru, and Tesla Note for an anime out of the pages of Weekly Shonen Magazine. Anime win, hopefully, very soon. Now, from what you all been waiting for. And I love me manga. I'm glad this is such a manga-centric episode. Get to talk about the 45th Kodansha Manga Awards. Talking about some Blue Lock, which I want to do an episode on Blue Lock. Not sure how many people would actually listen into it, because it's popular among a lot of manga readers. But it still hasn't reached, it's not, you just can't go to any old weeb and say, hey, man, you read a Blue Lock? They'll ask definitely what the hell Blue Lock is, you know. It hasn't gotten to that point to where, like, Blue Lock? Oh, the soccer anime? You bet. It will, though. It definitely will. You can mark my words on it. C-Dub here said it here first. Blue Lock anime, spring of 2022, maybe? Let me stop. But yeah, I love talking about manga, as you know, guys. I'm a big manga head. And I'm really excited to do this Attack on Titan topic here, because there's a lot of things that went into this ending. I've talked to a few friends of mine, getting their perspective on the ending. I've had people say it was boring. anticlimactic, predictable. And the funny thing is, a few of my friends and I, we actually predicted a lot of the events in the final chapter, and we felt like geniuses, by the way. Absolute madmen, geniuses. And then I thought about it a little bit deeper, and I said, I wonder how many other people predicted the same thing, because this did seem like a very predictable final chapter. But it'd be the understatement of the century to say that the end of the Attack on Titan manga was highly anticipated. After many, many years of teasing from Hajime Isayama, including the preview of the final panel, excitement was at a fever pitch. And this may or may not have created certain expectations that could have not been answered. And before I move forward, this is going to contain spoilers for the entirety of Attack on Titan, including chapter 139. And a few spoilers from Code Geass. What do you mean? Do you see that? What do you mean by that? You'll know. You'll see. On the whole, Attack on Titan ending is fine. That's what I summed it up to. It is fine. It isn't terrible, but it probably was the most predictable outcome. Eren did get redeemed at the very end, with Isayama showing us that his intentions were noble. Even if it wasn't going about them in the most moral way, it's the classic Lelouch treatment from Code Geass, becoming a villain for the hero's sake. The only difference was that Lelouch didn't murder 80% of the world's population. Expecting the Alliance to fail and see Eren go full evil wouldn't have been keeping in the series' status as a shonen manga. So it's not like I was expecting that. Even so, this final chapter suffers from a problem of perspective. Just one small change would have made the Attack on Titan ending a whole lot more interesting. And let me explain. Essentially, the final chapter's first scene between Armin and Eren in the paths didn't need to happen at all. Not only does it flash back to an earlier part of the story, it also fails to explain why Armin and Mikasa didn't remember until the battle was over. Eren just says, "You'll probably remember again once it's all over." Maybe this was because Eren's power as the founding Titan to erase memories kind of disappeared along with all of the other Titans. It just feels clumsy, and probably because how much of Isayama struggled to put together this series' final arc and Attack on Titan's eventual ending may have been a part of that. But and the thing is, another thing with Attack on Titan Code Geass connection, did anyone else think Armin was just Suzaku? Why did I say Suzaku? Suzaku from Code Geass? You know, Lelouch's rival friend? Come on. Really? You don't remember that panel when he says, oh my god, you can see when he's screaming. He's yelling, he's like, "I am Armin Alert, an Eldian from the Island of Paradise. The man who killed Eren Jaeger, the Attack Titan." Man, I don't know. There was a lot of Code Geass connections. Not with the entire series, but with just the final chapter alone. But maybe that might be a cool episode to do in the future as well. Do a Code Geass Attack on Titan analysis and see the similarities and the differences between the series. Because they're fascinating. Super fascinating. But it would have been a lot more interesting if it was left up to the reader's interpretation. Whether Eren was truly a villain, whether he truly believed in the rumbling. And removing the first scene of that of the manga would have really achieved that, to be honest. And furthermore, the seeds were already planted when Armin questioned why Eren didn't simply up and control all the warriors on the way to kill him. That would have been possible with the Founding Titan's power easily. Instead, Attack on Titan, and he preferred to go the more obvious route, making Eren's true intentions clear, even if he did want to leave every surface a blank plane. And look, it's not all bad, you know. First of all, it's good to see Eren finally admit his feelings for Mikasa. You know, that's something years in the making. About goddamn time. And speaking of Mikasa, tying her character development into that of Ymir and why the power of the Titans disappeared was a very smart move. they work so well together and give her tough choice a sufficient air of narrative importance. I really like that. And finally, it's refreshing to see that though, even though Aaron's motivations are crystal clear, the world isn't exactly back to normal after his death. The Jaegerists are still in power back on Paradise, meaning that it's up to the remaining Survey Corps members and the Marleyan soldiers to kind of tell their story and maybe convince them to stand down. It'd be inaccurate to say that Aaron wasn't entirely redeemed as a result of the attack on Titan ending. He admits himself that he probably still would have flattened the world without knowing that Armin and company would stop him thanks to the attack Titan's power. And this does kind of suggest that he does harbor a little bit of evil in his heart, which I like. And that he truly believed the rumbling to be the only way. And for someone like Aaron Jaeger, there are no shades of gray. It is only kill all the Titans or kill all of humanity. And there really wasn't any in between on that at all. But the attack on Titan ending underscores perfectly the moral quandary of Aaron Jaeger. Someone burdened by trauma, enraged by ideology, and for all the series' clumsy allegory and somewhat worrying appropriation of the Japanese war memory, you remember that Polygon, that Polygon article, feeling awfully surface level, but does show the imagery rubs some people the wrong way. Just look up Polygon Attack on Titan and talk about the Japanese war. Look, I don't give a fuck about Polygon and, that much. I have a problem with Polygon on several fronts, but that article they wrote on Attack on Titan, though, albeit, like I said, surface level, they did bring up a few good points. But moving on, it does provide us with a clear warning of what war can do to people, transforming them into monsters and feeding their hatred with a sense of righteous purpose. In this sense, it's very similar to Mobile Suit Gundam, which to this day does the war motif and the labors of war, the hardships of war, the effects of war better than any other piece of, I want to say almost piece of fiction, but I won't go that far. I love Mobile Suit Gundam, but they do it better than any manga or anime I've ever seen, ever. And I need to do another Mobile Suit Gundam episode. Oh, God. But the small issues with Attack on Titan's ending doesn't really overshadow the series' incredible legacy, nor the testament it provides to the strength of serialized storytelling. The fact that Hajime Isayama's series almost single-handedly lifted Bisasu Shonen magazine out of relative obscurity and made it into a household name, generating a colossal amount of sales for Kodansha along the way, this story is one that could have been done in manga. It grew up alongside readers, changing its course and its characters accordingly. Isayama's voice also rings loud and clear through its entire run. 12 years. That is how long Attack on Titan has been in serialization. I haven't been around since the very beginning, but I have been reading the series for close to almost a third of my life. Maybe I did get pretty close to the beginning. That gives this ending an extra air of importance. So I don't think it's insignificant for me to say that I'm mostly satisfied with the ending. Look, I'm just a guy on the internet, but I'm glad I lived to see the end. As this caption on the cover of the latest issue of Bisatsu Shonen Magazine reads, both you and I are part of the story. You can read Attack on Titan on Kodansha USA and on Crunchyroll Manga. take your time if you ever want to read this series. And I hope you enjoy the series and enjoy the ending. And tell me if you read the ending. Let me know what you thought about it. You can let me know what you thought of your thoughts on this ending and on just the series in general, or how it connects with Code Geass so well, on my Twitter at BasedSenpai. You can do this also on my Instagram on Weebcast TV. You could also just send me an email at cl19@mail.com. And those three links are in the description of this episode as well for your convenience. Not only that, but you don't see the today's sponsor of Baxter Blue link in the comments. So make sure you check that link and see, you might want some nice little glasses for yourself. Get 10% off by using that link in the show notes. But thank you for coming on to this episode of Attack on Titan, where I get to explain some of the problems and some of the positives of the Attack on Titan ending. And I try to be succinct and try to be clear and try to and wrap it up as Attack on Titan did, simply yet beautiful at the same time. Hope you like the Blue Lock news. I was out and about yesterday, I was really happy to hear that when I was checking the awards and that Blue Lock won in the Shonen category. I was like, this is amazing. I'm definitely going to talk about that for Saturday's episode. And here we are. Next week is a mystery. Like I said, it's been really hectic this month with work and all that kind of stuff. So I haven't been able to plan a few episodes, but for next week, we'll see what we do. Like I said, I might want to do a Jujutsu Kaisen. I might want to talk about the Shibuya arc, just that arc, and see maybe how that's going to affect the future. And I kind of wanted to really review that arc quickly. And if it doesn't turn out to be too much of an episode, I may add another Jujutsu Kaisen topic to go hand in hand with my Shibuya arc review. So that's probably what I'll do for next week. I just really want to talk about some Jujutsu Kaisen. Same thing, I want to really talk about Attack on Titan. Not only the final season, but the manga ending, because it was, I'm a little late, but look, I'm trying my best here. I had a lot of guests on in the last month and a half, so I wanted to catch up on the hottest anime and manga topics. I mean, that's what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks, is pretty much giving you some straight up hot fire, some hot takes, a few wet blankets thrown there as well. And you're like, what the fuck is a wet blanket? It's like the opposite of a hot take. That's all you need to know. But thank you. Like I said, thank you for allowing my voice into your ears and into your homes. This has been C-Dub, a.k.a. Mori, a.k.a. the Independent Variable, a.k.a. the man who's got a little bit of water in him, needs some coffee in him if he really wants to truly wake up on this Saturday morning. But also, before I let you go, I want to make sure that you guys share this episode with your friends and family or anybody who likes anime and manga and want to learn something, a thing or two, from listening to my show, and impress your friends. Like I said, Weebcast, the anime and manga, the number one anime and manga show, is the only anime and manga show where you can get it, where you will get a deep dive on your favorite anime and manga. We just go that extra layer deeper and we do it the best. Yes, that's what we do it best. And I love the Weebcast fam out there always supporting me too, on Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit. Thank you so much. Also, final, please, if you're listening to this on whatever podcasting platform, make sure that you rate it and subscribe to it, especially if you're listening to it on the Apple podcast thing. Please rate it and give a review and a rating. That really helps for small podcasts, for getting seen and noticed and growing. I will love you forever. I always love you, but let me love you even more. So please make sure you do that. Thank you so much. Now, now we can wrap up the show. Like I said, thank you for coming and stopping by. Next week, get ready for Jujutsu Kaisen and much more fun topics here on Weebcast. I'm out of 3000. See you.